Have you heard about the big game? You know, the big game. The one where people in ads say the big game. Stephen Colbert said the big game will pit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Pirates versus Native Americans. Okay, now they're just ripping off my unproduced screenplay that everybody called deeply problematic and geographically inconsistent. Dances with Parrots. Jimmy Fallon said, if Tom Brady keeps up this pace, I'm just worried where he's going to put the 11th Super Bowl ring when he runs out of fingers. Seth Meyers, 43-year-old Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady will be the oldest player to play in the Super Bowl, though he will still be the youngest person in Tampa. That is awesome. Kimmel, Tom Brady makes history as both the oldest person to ever play in a Super Bowl and the first person who ever moved to Florida so he could keep working. Fallon, that's right. Brady is once again returning to the Super Bowl. Man, between Brady and Joe Biden, what a month it's been for 78-year-old white guys. Colbert, Brady played for the Patriots for 20 years before switching to a younger team this season, so it's basically a midlife crisis. Trevor Noah, he's still winning at 43. What is his secret? I'm only 36 and all my Google searches are like, hips making clicking sound when I walk. Am I dying? Tide has teamed up with Jason Alexander for a Super Bowl ad. You know Jason Alexander. He was George Costanza on Seinfeld 25 years ago. And since then, I don't know. But he's in a new 60-second Super Bowl ad that Tide will run during the second quarter. So plan your bathroom breaks. You don't want to miss this. It aims to show viewers the many travails that a single hoodie goes through over the course of a day. Suffice it to say, says Variety, Alexander's facial expressions, captured on the hoodie itself, will help convey how the clothing might feel. Use of the hoodie in the ad is deliberate, says some suit. The company believes more consumers are wearing clothing with large faces and expressions on them and often wear hoodies multiple times before putting them in the wash. Guilty, wearing one right now while recording. That makes the garments a relatable piece and a story about the, oh, who cares? It's a Super Bowl commercial with Jason Alexander. Why am I reading this to you? Trevor Noah is making an animated film. It is untitled. The Untitled Project is based on an original idea from Trevor Noah. So to recap, Trevor Noah is making a cartoon because he had an idea and it doesn't have a title. The plot is under wraps. Yeah, okay. You ready for a rant? And it's not from me, and it's not about, you know, people who are on TikTok. Not going to say any names here. Paste Magazine went on a total rant. Are you ready? Have some coffee. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomicnews. You're going to need one. I'm going to take a sip of coffee before I even do this. This is actually a hot coffee today from Dunkin'. This is an Americano with caramel. And you can support this show at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomicnews. Here's the rant. We knew this was coming. Dave Chappelle is just the latest comedian to contract COVID-19, resulting in the cancellation of a string of live shows he planned to do in Texas with Joe Rogan. It's no surprise that skirting safety protocols led to an outbreak, especially when his previous outdoor, quote, summer camp, unquote, series had to be shut down early when a member of his inner circle was exposed to the virus. He joins a COVID-positive club of comedians that includes Brian Regan, Brian Callen, and D.L. Hughley, to name a few. What is there left to say? The sky is blue, water's wet, and live comedy during a pandemic is dangerous. This is from Paste Magazine, by the way. Back to the rant. As we're coming up on 1 year in a lockdown, the U.S. has never come close to approaching a status where the risks of performing are low enough to justify hosting live shows, but that hasn't stopped them from happening. And for most of the time, we've known that safety measures, if even enforced at all, such as temperature checks, rapid tests, and social distancing, means very little when these shows take place indoors. They're tantamount to hygiene theater. Saying a show is COVID safe on Facebook doesn't make it so, and yet, here we are again. Well, there's more. Netflix paid Dave Chappelle $60 million for his last three comedy specials. Joe Rogan is earning $100 million from his recent Spotify deal to make podcasts in his new Texas tax haven. Regan is one of the busiest professional comedians, routinely selling out large capacity crowds in between recording specials for Netflix and Showtime. And as a TV and stand-up veteran, his starring vehicle, The Hughleys, is still in syndication. D.L. Hughley also rakes in millions. These stars can afford to not work, and yet the people perfectly suited to ride out a pandemic in relative comfort are choosing to risk it all, and in doing so, encouraging others to risk it too. Oh, there's more. And they're not just performing. They're doing meet and greets, sticking around to hug strangers and completely obliterate the already flimsy 6 feet rule. What was the point of taking all these precautions just to throw it away for Xander's Instagram story? How does a meet and greet or a maskless after party sharpen your comedic skills? This kind of completely superfluous add-on shows that touring has nothing to do with maintaining a sharp whip or providing some sort of levity during a dark time. It's all ego. There was no reason for these shows. They're non-essential activities. There's no economic anxiety. It's simply a matter of people who can do whatever they want, doing whatever they want. I hope everyone involved is safe and healthy. I do not want anyone to have to suffer from this terrible disease. Well, not in this profession, at least. But we cannot keep pretending. These are honest mistakes. These are not people stuck between a rock and a hard place. These are people stuck in a mansion between some really, really nice throw pillows. My God, what is even the point of pulling a high 6 to 7 figures off content you own if you're going to risk a respiratory disease to play a chain comedy club in South Florida? Whew! That's from Paste Magazine. Today's Daily Comedy News is sponsored by the Is This Entertainment podcast. Told you about Jacob and Ben yesterday. Now look, Daily Comedy News listeners, you got to give them some clicks or they're going to be like, this Johnny Mac guy's a total bust. Nobody listens to our podcast. I hate that guy. No, I don't want Jacob and Ben to hate me. Give them some clicks. Check out the show. Is This Entertainment podcast, hosted by two self-described hermits that play music together. And they've been talking about WandaVision. Did you see WandaVision Friday night? It was awesome. Who does not like WandaVision? You know, lately on the show, Ben's been going on some improv rants. Ben is described as a former improv performer, but Ben, I say to you, if you're doing improv rants, you are not a former improv performer. You're an improv performer. One of those rants was about the amount of emails he gets from Domino's Pizza. And I was like, you know, Ben's right. We do get a lot of emails from Domino's Pizza. I went to my own inbox here. I have one from January 25th. It's called Case of the Mondays. Domino's can help. On the 14th, they sent me rewards member. Don't worry about D-I-N. And I didn't click on it. On the 13th, you'll love our mix and match deal. December 1st. You'll love any two chews with our mix, ... You get the idea. I get a lot of emails. So does Ben from the Is This Entertainment podcast. So check it out. They're having a good time talking about the TV shows and movies they're watching, music they're listening to, WandaVision, Mandalorian, Domino's Pizza emails. It's a good time. Give them some clicks or they're going to think I'm a moron. Come on, man. Is This Entertainment podcast, wherever you get your shows. So this next bit here, you're hearing after I started to do the edits of the show, and I was listening back to that rant, and as I listened back to myself doing the rant, all I could hear was Jeff Foxworthy doing the rant. And it becomes funny if you imagine Jeff Foxworthy doing it. Here, I will try to do my best. And they're not just performing. They're doing meet and greets. Sticking around to hug strangers and completely obliterate the already flimsy 6 feet rule. What was the point of taking all these precautions just to throw it away for Xander's Instagram story? Hey, remember I told you about Munawar Faruqi and how he was waiting to get out of jail? He was jailed for some jokes that he didn't even tell? Well, Outlook India reports a court rejected his bail. He's still in jail at the time of this recording of this podcast. As I told you last week, he didn't actually get up on stage and do the act. So far, don't reveal him performing this material, but the court added, it's not a case of no evidence, more so, the investigation is in progress. So we have no evidence that you did this, but, you know, some could show up, so we'll keep you in jail. I feel bad for this guy, I've never heard of him until last week, and I'm, you know, 5,000 miles away, and maybe I don't get the situation, but wow, he's in jail for jokes he didn't even do. From the Laugh Button, Tiffany Haddish is working on season 2 of her stand-up showcase, They Ready. This time around, her guests, Dean Edwards, Godfrey, Kimberly Clark, Tony Woods, Barbara Carlisle, and Aaron Jackson. Last season was an all-female roster. This time, Haddish is changing things up. She said, this season, I purposely made sure everybody was black because I'm black. The list.co.uk tells us French and Saunders are getting back together. It'll be called French and Saunders, Funny Women. It'll be on whatever gold is. Here in the States, I have no idea. Hopefully you Brits know what gold is because you can see French and Saunders, Funny Women. Here's their statement. Are women funny? This is the thorny age-old question we've been chewing on ever since both of us were 2 years old, and to date, we still have no definitive answer. So in this program, we explore 50,000 or so irrefutable examples to see if we can draw any blatantly predetermined conclusions. This will be a 2-hour special. It comes after the pair released a podcast called French and Saunders Titting About in October, where they talk about assorted topics, sounds focused, in their typically irreverent style, including useful tips on airport shopping and naming their top 3 vegetables. October 2020 airport shopping, huh? All right. I mean, I don't hate them. I'm just like, you did an airport bit in 2020? Really? Dawn said, it's the best fun I've ever had without my incontinence pants on, which on reflection was a mistake. Some soft furnishings were damaged in the making of the series. Jennifer said, I can't imagine anything I'd rather be doing than titting about with Dawn. By the way, listening back to the edit here, I'm impressed that my Queen's accent has softened. I kind of said Dawn, not Dawn. Ooh, I got a lot left. But I promised you yesterday I would finish the New York Times thing with Keegan-Michael Key. I love Keegan-Michael Key. You guys are probably like, dude, you talked about Keegan-Michael Key 5 episodes in a row. Yeah, we're 10 plus minutes in. This was originally a 5-minute daily podcast. You're in like double overtime. This is bonus. You know, he's doing that podcast about the history of sketch comedy, and he does obvious examples like Monty Python, but he also lavishes attention on an early 1970s TV show less well-known in America called The Two Ronnies. The Brits are like, we know The Two Ronnies. We didn't really get into The Two Ronnies over here. I've heard of it. I don't know if I've ever seen it. Two Ronnies builds a whole sketch on misunderstanding names. Key then explains how a famous sketch he did on Key and Peele about a substitute teacher shares the same tactic. A.A. Ron. That probably is the best Key and Peele sketch, right? A.A. Ron, substitute teacher. You know what I'm talking about. If you're 12 minutes into this podcast, you know what I'm talking about. I love this next part. There's a poignancy to Key remembering the first time he heard his stoic father laugh. Seeing him break up at Eddie Murphy doing a Stevie Wonder impression with Wonder at his side on SNL made such an impression that Key described it as, quote, the beginning of my sketch comedy path, unquote. His enthusiasm can veer into cloying Dan humor, but his delight in forgotten artists is infectious. The history of sketch comedy keeps an eye on comprehensiveness, including quick histories of burlesque and vaudeville, as well as the Broadway Review. The podcast goes out of its way to name-check a dizzying number of TV shows, so it feels churlish to single out an omission, but the absence of Tim and Eric stands out because their aesthetic is so influential. Yeah, Key! Why no Tim and Eric? What the hell? Two Ronnies made this thing and not Tim and Eric? I am silly today. Let's go home. That's your daily comedy news for today. I already tried to get you to buy me a coffee. I'll shut up. You can follow this show on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.